You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We're also broadcasting across the Radio Maria broadcasting area. Good to have all of you listening on Radio Maria, joining us for our brand new edition of Faith and Sport live from our Charlotte studios. I'm Chris, the producer and the host of Faith and Sport each week. You know him as the incomparable Dr. John Aquaviva.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Hey, folks, wherever, whenever, however you're joining the show, we appreciate it. Radio Maria, Carolina Catholic Radio people, thank you, folks. Here's what we're going to do today. Talk today's sports topics, including our hit and miss with Ed Billick. He's going to join the conversation in 1 minute. Our guest on the phone is Kevin Riley, a former Philadelphia Eagle, one of the two teams represented in this year's Super Bowl, by the way. He's the author of Tackling Life, How Faith, Family, and Friends, and Fortitude Kept an NFL linebacker in the game. We got the quick Q&A with Dr. A, and this is the show in which we celebrate Carolina Catholic Radio's 4 years on the air. This is fantastic.
That's right.
Brother Chris, how you doing? The producer of the show.
Man, I'm doing great. My Wolfpack beat the Tar Heels yesterday.
It's always a big deal. And the NASCAR season's underway.
That's right. Kicked off with the Daytona 500. Plenty of crashing and bumping yesterday.
And the sun shines a little brighter once the NASCAR season starts.
Well,
I dislike actually when it starts getting warm because I like the cold weather. I like to build fires in my little fireplace and everything. Yeah. But we got a few good things to look forward to. For you, it's NASCAR. I like the basketball tournament. Baseball season started.
That's right.
And of course, got great tournaments like the Masters. In fact, it's going to be one of the talking points today. Let's move it over to our special guest, Ed Billick. Brother, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Folks, it's great to be here with you guys.
You are very energetic, by the way.
I enjoy being here. Yeah. We were dancing earlier.
Yep, we were singing
some Beatles tunes.
We're doing some imitations, right, of cartoon characters.
Beatle bumpers tunes. So on January 31st, 2019.
What's that?
Carolina Catholic Media signed on as Charlotte's first Catholic radio station. So it's been
amazing?
4 years now, guys. And Chris, you've been with them since day one, right?
That's right.
Yeah. How long has Faith and Sport been on the air?
Well, total, we've been on the air for about 6 years.
Because came from Radio Maria
That's
Land.
Right.
Even before that, different iterations. So.
That's right. We were Radio Maria, then I switched to Carolina Catholic Media only, and then I merged the two, and Radio Maria said, hey, let's take these guys on and we'll syndicate them. So fantastic.
So good morning, good afternoon to all of our listeners out there.
I appreciate
John,
that,
how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm like you. On Mondays, I have just a little more energy. I always have energy for my classes. You know, I teach exercise science at Wingate University, and I always wake up and I get to go, literally, I go, I get to teach today. But on Mondays, I wake up with a little more energy because we get to do the show, and in particular when you're here, brother.
Well, you also get to interface with your students, which gives you energy. Yep. And Chris, this guy's fired up because the Tar Heels really was terrible, man. You guys
What does that mean?
Wolfpack.
Yeah, okay, Wolfpack.
That's the wolf.
Chris, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot regarding our faith. Now, Chris is a non-Catholic. He's a believer, but he's a non-Catholic. Chris, you've learned a whole lot about the Catholic religion and Catholic tradition. What was, for lack of a better word, what was the coolest thing you learned about the Catholic faith? Because you've learned a lot about it over the years, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've learned
a lot. Is that a fair question? Like, what's the coolest thing you've learned about our faith?
I think one of the coolest things is really enjoy all the homilies that I get to hear because I, you know,
produce and edit the Clergy Corner that we air.
At 4 o'clock every afternoon here on Carolina Catholic Media, and I get to hear homilies from all the different priests around the Charlotte diocese like yours, Father Kirby. He's going to be on today at 4 o'clock.
Oh, come on, is that right?
That's right. And I was just talking to Ed about over there at Saint
Father
Mass,
John.
Father John, when he gave his special Super Bowl homily a couple of weeks ago. He started with "Good morning, football fans."
Yeah,
like, as you know, on St. Patrick's Day, we're all Irish, and on Super Bowl Sunday, we're all football fans.
Yeah,
no matter what team we're a fan of,
that's right.
We all come together to enjoy the big game.
That's right. In fact,
you know, just as you were saying, I got to interrupt here because we didn't talk about this before we came on the air. But Chris, that's an outstanding answer because the sermons, when you get the interpretation of the weekly readings and all, you're filled with not only one. We go to one Sunday Mass. I don't only have Sunday Masses you and the family go to. but you get to hear all those sermons. So a great way to learn what the Catholic faith is all about.
I know. Right. That's one of the reasons I appreciate Chris. He works really hard. He's really the only full-time worker we have for Carolina Catholic Radio. But also, from the start, his heart was always open to the teaching, to the philosophies, to the theology of the Catholicism of our faith. And he's always been open to it. He's always been friendly to it. And brother, I appreciate you, and I appreciate everything you do for Carolina Catholic Radio.
One thing, Chris, we like to say in Catholic faith is it isn't Father John who's the superstar. Or it isn't some pastor. It's Jesus Christ.
Of course,
he's the superstar. Yeah,
yeah,
so that's the difference.
Yep. Brother, if we can, a little later on, this is the week of that Lent starts, and I want to talk to you about, are you more of a giving up guy, or are you more of a doing guy when it comes to Lent? So maybe we can get back
to that later.
All right, brother, as always, we start the whole conversation on faith and sport with a conversation on something good or bad that's happened in the world of sport, something positive or negative that's happened in the world of sport. As always, you go first, pal.
And recently, I've been doing a lot of health kind of discussions with people. And anyhow, Michael Jordan, the infamous Michael Jordan.
He's the great NASCAR driver, right?
Plays in the league today. Basketball's legend.
Owner.
He just celebrated his 60th birthday, and he gave $10 million to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Love it.
You know, he has a ton of money, of course.
Does.
But when you just do that and do it because it's the right thing to do, you get a lot of positive press, and that's all a good thing. But the folks at Make-A-Wish that get that kind of money and then provide those kind of dreams or fulfill those dreams of those poor kids that are fighting cancer, I think it's just a wonderful thing. And, you know, I was thinking, was it some golf tournament I saw over the weekend, or was it something in NASCAR? I think it deserves the kudos. And he's from Carolina. He's born in Wilmington. We all know and love Michael Jordan. So very generous with that $5 million donation. And now he's built that relationship with Nike. So he continues.
Of course.
Now, if he can learn to get the Charlotte Hornets to be a winning basketball team, but that's something else.
That'd be an Easter miracle, wouldn't it?
Yes, maybe someday. But anyhow, kudos to Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate that. And one of the things I remember, the first thing I thought of when you mentioned Michael Jordan was a couple months ago we had Matt Doherty on. In fact, you helped me get in contact with him. He was a teammate of Michael Jordan at University of North Carolina. Right. Sorry, Chris, we have to mention that name. But in that interview, he said, now, John, before you ask me about anything, my days at UNC, he said, Michael Jordan was the real deal as far as character went. Like, we really liked him. And no, we had no idea how great he was going to be.
No, exactly.
And you could tell by the way he said that he answered that question 100 times. Like, what was he like? And did you know? And, of course, nobody knew how great he was going to be. He was just like a lot of good college players. He was a superstar. He was clutch. But you could never predict that, because otherwise there'd be 2,500 of him, right? Because there's been literally hundreds of college athletes have been great players, clutch, game in and game out, dominating.
And leadership skills on the floor. And he set the bar pretty high. He intimidated a lot of guys. He's going to play to my level where you can, you know, hit the road, Jack, or hit the road, John.
Jack is my son's name. Folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. This is where we apply a faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you are a parent, a grandparent of an athlete themselves, you're a referee, any type of administrator, this is a show for you, because ultimately what we do is we bring in character, morality, and ethics and tie it into the world of sport. So we do talk about X's and O's and wins and losses and so forth, but most of the time we talk about sport. We weave into that conversation about character.
You know, with the weather getting warm, John,
don't mention
hitting
that
soccer
puts me in a bad
fields
mood.
Or baseball, families are out with their kids learning how to play the game, and parents let kids be kids.
I agree with that. Brother, I've never asked you this, I don't think. For as long as you and I have been friends and doing the show, do you have more energy when you wake up and it's 75 degrees on a February day here?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You like that.
I like getting outside and doing stuff.
So I love it, too, but I love it with a jacket on and some jeans.
Well, yeah. Well, 75 may be a little too warm,
it is.
Right? You start working a sweat up.
We had a fire last night, and we're watching The Chosen. Right?
Oh,
you know about this?
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. So we're watching The Chosen.
Tell the folks what The Chosen is.
Okay, The Chosen is. It's in season 3. It's the story of Jesus. It's a new series. And apparently, I heard this is kind of surprising, that it's going to go around or at 12 seasons. And we're in season three, so he's got a lot
I'm still doing catch up in season two. I mean,
we're in season
three.
He was
only on the earth for 3 years.
It's going to be just about every minute of his life, I guess.
Either that or St. Paul's going to write the next ones. And he puts no periods in his sentences.
But on the other hand, who knows? The Chosen could go into when he rose from the dead, right? The Acts of the Apostles.
Well, I'm sure we'll see that. That's good stuff. Anyhow, you're watching it with the family.
Yeah, and it's a special thing because it's every Sunday night, and Sunday night only we watch The Chosen with the kids. The kids love it. 4 out of 5 are there. The fifth one, Jack's 1 year old. He's in bed. But we had a fire last night. And one of the reasons I enjoyed the fire so much last night was I think it was the last night we're going to have a fire, right? We have a real fire. It's not a gas thing or, you know, we just burn paper in there. We have some logs and I chop some wood every once in a while. And I love that part of winter. And here's the other thing, Ed. It's darn warm from now until the next 8 months. Like, let's have a little extended winter here. All right. I'm just talking to God.
That's how he feels about coming up here with the nice warm weather we're going to
exactly.
have.
Exactly. So we're...
Hey, folks, hit and miss.
I know. We're doing... Folks, if you're just joining us, Faith in Sport, and we're in the middle of our discussion on hit and miss, a positive or negative thing in the world of sport. And mine has to do with Aaron Rodgers, the great quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Now, he gets ridiculed a lot because of a lot of things, right? He's a little flippant. He's a little... Right? He has some arrogance to him, probably. But the reason he's getting flack now is because he is thinking, for about the third year in a row, whether he wants to return to the NFL, right? He's one of the greats. Even if he suits up again next year, he's clearly one of the best 3 or 4 quarterbacks. He's outstanding. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You agree? You don't like him?
No, let's get to your hit or miss here.
And you probably knew about this, right? It kind of made news because so many people were making fun of him. But what he said was, I want to go on retreat and do some contemplating in my future, some contemplating in my life. And I wanted like be with myself and just determine. And he probably was a little too embarrassed, but who knows? He might prey on it, right? Now, the word retreat is only common to, I think, the Catholic world. There's other people that have gone on retreat, but everybody I know that is on retreat, goes on retreat on a regular basis, they're all Catholics. Priests are, you probably didn't know this, but every diocesan priest, it's mandatory that they go on retreat.
For how long?
I think it's like at least 3 days.
Okay.
All seminarians do. I was in the seminary from 05 to 07. We were on retreat a few times a year, including at Christmas break. We always ended the Christmas break with a retreat. And a lot of people, my parents have been on literally dozens of retreats. My mom and my dad would go on retreat and so forth. And the reason that they're all talking about this, Ed, is they're making fun of him. It's so out of the ordinary to literally retreat, right, to back up from life and to go on to go into a place like a physical building and you retreat from everybody and everything and you're asked not to bring your phone or bring your phone out very little or and there may or may not be a director of that retreat, but people are making fun of them. They're literally like, what are you going to crawl into a hole and you're going to find God and find the answer? And I'm like, what's wrong with going on retreat? It's really amazing and kind of a shame that so many people are insulting him for doing something that, to tell the truth, we probably could all use.
Absolutely, brother.
So anyway, they painted it as something as negative and weird.
Just a few people painted it as negative.
Well, yeah, you're
right. The ones that get all the airtime.
You're right, you're right.
People like us on this show applaud it.
Yes, we are definitely applaud it. So this is my miss that people are making a negative thing, but it's just the opposite. In fact, we should encourage more people to do it. All right, folks, listen, we're going to go on break here in just a few seconds. Listen, the second half of our show, Kevin Riley, a former Philadelphia Eagle, author of Tackling Life. So if nothing else in this break and then as he comes up in the next few minutes, go to the internet.
And check him out.
Check him out. Check it. And you can check him out at KevinRiley52.com. This is Faith in Sport. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling Field Agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. There's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Okay, folks, welcome. Man, my hand goes down. Anybody watches the YouTube video, my hand goes down. But on songs like that, I always hesitate to do it because we're all just jamming here. Folks, Dr. John Aquaviva, we're joined in studio by special guest Ed Billick. This is Faith in Sport, where we merge sport and virtue. Thank you for everybody listening via Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria. Brother, the fourth year that we're on Carolina Catholic Radio, and I think this is about total of 4 or 5 years we've been with Radio Maria. I want to thank everybody who listens and supports our show in some way. And you know what's interesting? It's not very often we get to meet people who listen on a regular basis.
You know, we got to give a shout out to David Papandrea. I've never met a human being like him.
He is rare.
How about this? Yeah. Or how about that? Or let's do this. Let's do that. He has an undying passion for
this,
and it's only going to get bigger.
Of course.
And you know, I heard the other day, Chris, and you'll appreciate this. In media, you have TV is the tube and the screen.
Yep.
In newspaper,
it's that piece of paper.
But in radio, it's all kind of media. It's podcasting.
Yeah.
It's downloading. It's streaming. Yeah, it's AM. It's FM. It's Sirius XM.
It's YouTube.
It's Alexa. It's your speaker box or your speaker phones. All of that. So what a great media. And God bless Carolina Catholic Media. And this thing is going to continue to grow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want the folks to keep supporting Radio Maria as well, because they've been around for a long time, and they give a lot of great programming. And those people I know at that station work really hard this and other programs on. And it's literally all for your faith.
Is Frank still there? Our buddy Frank?
I don't think he is, actually.
Jeez. Yeah, but he was there for many years.
He was there for many years. He helped us out. In fact, he was one of the people that helped say yes to this, because I said, how about we syndicate you? And they almost immediately said yes. I'm so thankful that we're on those radio stations in Texas and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Louisiana, and so forth.
Hey, let me just give a shout-out to John Schneider, who is the Toronto Blue Jays manager, and he saved a woman's life last week. Heimlich mover. He was down here at spring training with his wife having some lunch. Lady was choking on some of her lunch.
He went over,
and he just knew as a child the training. So my point, folks, you know, whether it's CPR or Heimlich movering and all that, you got to know those skills, because you'll never know when the good Lord's going to call upon you to save somebody.
I know. That would have is probably traumatic very, I don't know, what's the word? It was probably a wonderful experience at the same time. So good for him. All right, folks, you're listening to Faith in Sport. If you're just joining us, Ed and I are talking. We just got done talking about our hit or miss. If you missed that part, you could always go to YouTube. You can go to Carolina Catholic Radio. You can go to Radio Maria and hit the podcast and hit review and replay and all that crazy stuff. Or if you just open up your window and yell real loud, I might hear you and I can send you a copy of the show. Right, Chris?
Yeah, it's always possible. Hey, Aquaviva, where can I get the show?
make sure that you guys call the radio station or just check out either one of those websites, Carolina Catholic Radio or Radio Maria, and then you'll be able to hear this show and many others.
Is Aquaviva life of water?
It's water of life, brother.
Water of life.
Jesus, twice in Scripture, calls himself Aquaviva. It's true. He calls himself the water of life because you cannot live without water, right? It's true. Folks, a big kick happened in the Super Bowl. The game was tied between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Chiefs came down and got within field goal range, and the Kansas City kicker, who's been there for several years, really successful, good, well-paid kicker, Harrison Butker, kicked the game-winning field goal, and he made the news because he had a scapular on, right, which is what people in the monastery wear, and it's usually brown, and it's just got the little simple string. It's a very simple message that you are a follower of our Lord, and he purposely wore it on the outside, and people recognized it in one of the still shots that was taken of him as he was making the field goal, and everybody jumped on that in the Catholic world. And I bet he was asked to give at least a couple dozen interviews. And so I went to an interview that he gave actually prior to this season in which he talks about his Catholic faith. He's a revert, right? So he's born and raised Catholic, but clearly something has happened to him over the last few years. And he's not only has, made a dive into the Catholic faith, he has hit it hard. And if you want to be inspired by somebody who is inspired by their faith, it's Harrison Butker.
You know, one thing, folks, if you're a Carolina Panther fan, you'll remember that he was drafted by the Panthers in the seventh round. He was the 233rd pick back in 2017. They signed him for a contract, four-year contract, for $2.4 million. But then, for some reason, he was waived in 2017.
Kicked.
Right.
Never kicked.
And he was signed to Packers squad next year. But anyhow, Kansas City Chiefs said,
They've gotten themselves a winner and a high-quality guy.
Check him out. Now, you're going to tell us where.
So he gives this interview. It's 12 minutes on YouTube. It was so good. We, rather than a prayer that we usually do with our kids, we just showed them this video because I thought it was so inspiring for them to see this guy. He looks like a kid. This guy who's in love with this Catholic faith. And in this interview, he talks a lot about his faith and what's important to him. He serves as a NFL player. He serves as an altar boy, altar man, at Mass. In particular, he prefers the Latin Mass. And in this interview, he says, the interviewer asks him, was there something in particular that happened that made you embrace the faith at a deeper level? And this is what Harrison Butker, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, said.
Harrison was growing in his faith, and one day Grant offered to drive him to church where they were offering confession. And this was the moment that changed everything.
The biggest leap of faith for me was finally going to the sacrament of confession. And then that really was like what changed me. When I left that confessional, the way I felt, that was really what made me feel different than what I've been feeling before. I felt like I felt like me. I felt like I was authentically Harrison, you know, in every area of my life.
He went on to talk a little bit more about what that moment meant to him. And by the way, when he was at Georgia Tech, a kicker, he became friends with the punter. If I remember correctly, the punter's name was Grant Aysen. And Grant is a faithful Catholic, and he got inspired by Grant and their friendship and so forth. And it was Grant that brought him back into the faith. And then they went to church one day, and they were offering confession just before Mass. And then he said his confession.
How can we go see this video? It's on YouTube, and what's the title of it?
I just put in Harrison Butker, B-U-T-K-E-R, Butker, and Catholic. And that video will pop up. In fact, you'll see him in the cassock in the garb of an altar boy.
You know, John and I were talking when he sent me the video. He looks like a seminarian. He looks like a deacon.
Talks like a seminarian. Yeah.
He has a great future after football. And I tell you what, I mean,
he's on fire. It's wonderful to hear this.
Yes, it is. It's very. It's a 12-minute. It's well worth. Show your kids.
Oh yeah, and one of the reasons, the main reason, I should say, and I've said this before on this show, and it's worth mentioning this again. The reason that I showed my kids this, the reason I want to have professional and former professional athletes on the show, like Kevin Riley, who's going to come up, played for the Philadelphia
Eagles. Right after the break here, yeah.
Is because we often think in our culture, in our society, in modern day, we see people in acting, people in sports, people in business who are really successful as, why do they even need God? And this guy makes millions literally per year. So he is a multimillionaire. He's very successful, but he fully gets it at the age of like 25 plus. He fully gets that it is not about kicking field goals. It is not about fame. It's not about these other things. Yes, we need money. Yes, we need things to survive and for our children to survive and go from day to day. There's no problem making effort to get more money to get those things for your family. But too many of us want fame, too many of us want money, and ultimately you're going to realize once you get into that position that there's a lot more to it, and he's a perfect example, and I wanted my kids to see that.
You know what's pretty cool about the video, folks, too? He loves being an altar server, and he loves attending the Latin Mass, or what we used to call the High Mass. And if any of you are of our age, you might remember when it was a Latin Mass and there was a High Mass. It was all singing.
Yeah.
All the prayers was all sung. And if you were a priest and couldn't carry a tune too well, it went pretty quick. But there were some priests who were vocalists that, Dominus vobiscum, ecum spiritu tuo.
La, la, la. Brother, I appreciate that. I appreciate that when I mention these stories that you delve deeper into them, because it's always, always good conversation. And whenever you like view that stuff along with me, it just
And for those that aren't in our Catholic faith, the Latin Mass is old time. Well, look what it did. It helped bring Harrison Buckner back to the faith. And loves it. He
loves it. Yep. And his wife is a convert now to the faith.
Oh, that's right.
About that.
Isabella.
We have a couple more minutes before the break, and then right after that, former Philadelphia Eagle, one of the teams that was representing the Super Bowl, Kevin Riley. Check him out at KevinRiley52, his number, KevinRiley52.com. Before we go to break, though, I want to mention something that is actually fascinating to me. I mentioned that one of the things I look forward to in the spring, as I mentioned every spring, is the Masters Golf Tournament. The Masters Golf Tournament is the only tour event that's not sponsored, has anything to do with the PGA.
Right.
And this live tour, this tour of 3 days in which the players are getting guaranteed money and millions just to show up all over the world to golf in these tournaments. And they have some of the biggest names from the PGA Tour in the last couple of years to leap over. And by the way, just to be clear, you cannot play in both at this time until the Masters came, and the Masters board basically said, yeah, if you're on the live tour and you meet the qualifications, you can play in the Masters. And, of course, this infuriated the PGA.
Right? Yeah, but you know what would be funny? Because, okay, this is not a Catholic or a Christian comment, and I couch it as that. It'd be funny if these live guys don't even make the cut.
I don't know if that's funny. No, because some of them will. Some of them are the best golfers.
Well, I'm just saying, because it's become such a...
No, but I want to tell the truth. Do you want to see that it succeed or not succeed?
Live? No.
You don't want to see it succeed.
No, I don't want to see anything succeed when you pay people ahead of time without performing. Oh, that's
baseball,
that's
basketball.
NFL, that's NHL.
No, in fact, I mentioned this, I think it was the last time you were on the show. It was one of the last true, what people consider to be a good professional way of paying people, and that is you actually earn your monies, whereas everybody really earns a contract based on what they did in the past, whereas with golf, it's how you did in this tournament, this present tournament.
Right, right. And it's how hourly people make their money. It's how white-collar, blue-collar make their money. But anyhow, it's another whole topic for another day. But in the Masters, both groups get to participate.
Yeah, and I'm happy about that. And we still have a minute to go, so I want to mention this. There's a lawsuit. The PGA has sued the LIV Tour and the people that have sponsored it, in particular financially sponsored it. And one of the – in the lawsuit – get this, brother. I love this. One of the sentences in the lawsuit, why they're suing him, said something along the lines of, they're disrupting our business. And of course they're disrupting our business. They're a competitor. That's what other businesses do. That's why FedEx came along after Big Brown, right?
UPS.
Yeah, and that's why, and there's another company doing that.
And to that point, that I'm all for that kind of thing. I just wish it was not pay before play.
Understood. So let me ask you, in the end, you think that the LIV is going to dissolve or that they're going to merge? Somewhere.
I think they'll eventually merge with the kind of compensation package of the PGA. I think the AFL, NFL, but here this is a foreign country. But anyhow, we'll have a lot more of that when we come back.
We do. All right, folks, listen, you're listening to Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio, co-production of Radio Maria. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. In studio is Ed Billick. Stick around. We have Kevin Riley, former Philadelphia Eagle, going to join us just in 2 minutes.
Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code RADIO and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir.
Folks, John Aquaviva here, and bringing you Faith and Sport. Ed Billick's in the town, or in the chair.
In the house.
He's in town. Yeah. Anyway, joining us in 1 minute is Kevin Riley, former Philadelphia Eagle, author of Tackling Life: How Faith, Family, Friends, and Fortitude Kept an NFL Linebacker in the Game. He's going to join us in 1 minute. Before Kevin comes on, a big football player he was. I'm sure he's still a big fan. But the two big pieces of news since we last had this show. In the last couple weeks, I should say, Tom Brady retired, and that wasn't real surprise. It was still big news, right? The greatest of all time. And Frank Reich was hired as our local team here to Carolina Catholic Radio as the head coach, and that's a big deal to Ed and I because—
The Carolina Panthers,
that's right, because Joe Reich, his brother, is the head coach at Wingate University.
And you know Joe.
Joe's a friend of mine, a fellow Catholic, and Frank, he quarterbacked one of his years— on, I think it was the inaugural season.
Well, it was. He threw the first touchdown pass.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And he was a minister here in town. He went to theology class for a while.
Yeah. And so, Frank, I consider him a friend of the show. He's been on this show when he was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. So speaking
that
of—
That was a while ago, but that was a great discussion.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. So we wish him luck, and that's a big deal. In fact, we may just very well get him on the show.
Well, again. We should.
Yeah, we should. All right, folks, thank you for listening to Faith and Sport. This is where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. And my next guest is one who has done that very much his whole life. He's a faithful guy. He loves football, but more than anything, he loves his faith. His name is Kevin Riley, former professional football player. Kevin Riley, welcome to Faith in Sport.
John, glad to be with you, and I heard you talking about Frank Reich.
Yeah.
You couldn't find a better guy. The guy is an absolute ace, not only personally, but as an X and O guy and a guy that brings people together. You couldn't find better. He's going to do well.
Oh, I appreciate that. In fact, I think, you know, as you can imagine on local radio here when they announced it, I think to a certain extent they're hoping for a little younger, a little more vibrant.
And but, they love Steve Wilks, John.
They did love Steve Wilks. But I'm glad to hear you say that because I know a lot of the people that listen here are fans of the Panthers. And so I think they need that. Because, you know, once the decision's been made, you have to support the guy. And if nothing else, as you're saying, Kevin, we're going to get a high-quality guy to run that team, right?
Without a doubt.
I appreciate you being here, brother. Okay, so you wrote the book Tackling Life, How Faith, Family, Friends, and Fortitude Kept an NFL Linebacker in the Game. Now, you've been through some stuff, brother. And one of the things was you had some illness in your body and your left arm had to be removed and it took part of your shoulder along with it. And this helped you put things in perspective. Tell us what you mean and tell us what
you
talked about.
The real quick story is I was getting ready to, I had taken a year off from the NFL because I was beat up from playing special teams and linebacker and had two tryouts and training camp coming up. And I had this little bump in my shoulder that nobody seemed to be able to eradicate it. We operated on twice, and it just kept coming back. I go to New York. I wait 2.5 hours to see this doctor. He comes in, probes me for about 15 seconds in the shoulder, takes a look at my x-rays, and then the report and says, you've got a desmoid tumor. It's a rare scar tissue, and I'll be really lucky if I can save your arm.
Wow.
And my knees buckled. Here I was looking to get back in, maybe get 2 or 3 years back for my pension. I was experienced. I knew I could play in the league, and I get that kind of news. It's hard to believe. But then he went on to say, you got a serious issue, and I'm telling you, I'll be glad to save your arm. Well, he wasn't able to save my arm, and they took my arm, my shoulder, and 4 ribs. And I'm glad to be alive because that doctor saved my life. This thing could have taken my life. So from that perspective, John, it changed my life at 29 years of age. And I had a different, you know, outlook on life.
Absolutely. Folks, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith in Sport. We're talking with former NFL linebacker Kevin Riley. You can check more about Kevin out at KevinRiley52, the number 52.com. Brother, when this was all said and done, your NFL career is over. Where was your faith during this point? Right after it, you know, you're probably thinking, gosh, God, I had this opportunity to play football. I had a couple more years left in me. My arm gets removed. It takes some other parts of my body with me through the operation. Tell us where you were in your faith life and how that's like sent you in a different direction if you had never have experienced that.
Well, John, you and I both know about Catholic guilt. I had 16 years of Catholic education, St. Mary Magdalene, Salesiano High School for boys, Catholic school, and then Villanova, where the Augustinians were. My first thought when I came to and was glad to be alive and putting things in perspective, I only shared this with my dad who came in one day, and I started crying. I said, this is God punishing me for not becoming a priest. Because I thought at one point, maybe in 7th and 8th grade, you know, I think we all have those fleeting thoughts back in that day anyway. And, you know, my dad had to calm me down and say, that was not, you know, that's not a God that I know. That's not the God that you know either, and that's not true. And as time went on, and I say this now in my speeches that I give all over the country, this has been the biggest blessing I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
It brought me down a couple pegs from being a professional athlete where your ego is just, you know, grows. I don't care what team you're on. And if you're the last man on the team, it grows. You're somebody special. And it brought me back into perspective to take a look at my life, take a look at my family, and be glad for what I had.
Brother, you and I talked in preparation for this interview on Thursday, and I didn't keep an eye on the clock, but we probably talked for a good half hour. And you didn't mention that story about your dad. But, brother, you have to tell that story more often. That's as good as little story, as we can hear on this show, that was a great commentary from your dad, great insight on your dad, and it redirected you. Man, I love that. Make sure, Kevin, next time you're in front of a bunch of men at a conference or a retreat, whatever the case is, make sure you mention that story. Now, brother, your dad had to be influential in developing your Catholic faith, but in that discussion we had the other day, there was another gentleman that a lot of people would know by name that was also influential in you kind of like deepening your faith. And tell us about that coach.
Yeah, that coach was Coach Don Shula, who I got drafted by the Miami Dolphins, and they were the world champions coming off an undefeated 1972 season, which hasn't happened since or before.
That's right.
And he, we were at Biscayne College, and the Augustinians priest had that college down there. It was a small college. I think it still is. And I found out that there was daily mass right before we had to go to breakfast. And so I started going, and guess who else was in the pews? Was Don Shula.
Yeah.
And I didn't know he was Catholic. I didn't think he would, even if he was Catholic, he was going to daily mass.
That's right.
This is something that I picked up from my dad during Lent. He and I went to daily mass and made it like a goal to make, you know, all 40 days or 38, whatever it is.
Neat.
And I got a lot of razzing from some of the guys on the team saying I was a brown noser and that I did this on purpose. But really, it was by coincidence. I happened to see Coach Shula in there. And that put a little bond between us, I think. The day that he had to release me, well, because he had an opportunity to pick up a guy that was a higher round draft pick than me, he saw me personally, and he looked me in the eye, and he saw that I was disappointed after 12 weeks of practice, and he looked me in the eye after my chin dropped, and he came around, and he pulled my chin up, and he said, hey, you just didn't get cut by the Pottstown Firebirds. You got cut by the world champion Miami Dolphins, and you got to have a little faith in yourself. You'll be on a team in 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, I was with the Philadelphia Eagles in my hometown. Go. Another blessing.
There you go, brother. That's awesome. Kevin, folks, we're talking with Kevin Riley, former NFL linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles. Thinking of the Eagles and thinking of this Super Bowl that they're just in, Kevin, I find today's sports world certainly fascinating. I wouldn't have this show if I didn't think that way. But I always love to ask either current or especially former athletes in their respective sports to kind of reflect on where the game is today. I know we can go down a lot of different roads here. We can go down a few different paths. But what does your instinct say when you look at a game, when you watch the Super Bowl, when you watch a regular season game, are the thoughts mostly positive? Is it kind of, are you critical of the league now? What, just in general, where are you at with the NFL?
That is a great question. I'm somewhere in between. I'm a big Eagles fan because of the brotherhood.
Sure.
You know, back in the day, 1974, my salary was $17,500. That won't even pay for a fine for being out late. And we went on strike in 74 and picketed, and that was to get free agency. And these guys that are the benefits of that now are making multi-million dollars. Yeah. I have, friends that are playing now, friends of my granddaughters, that are playing now that have $100 million contracts for 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. And that makes you a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. I wouldn't trade it for the friendships that we had on the team.
Yeah.
Harold Carmichael just got inducted 2 years ago into the Hall of Fame, and Dick Vermeil got inducted this year. And to have the guys get together and go down, you know, at 25, John, if I'd have said to one of these guys as they were leaving for the offseason, hey, man, I'll see you in the spring, and I love you, I'd have got punched in the mouth. You can't leave one of these guys now where they don't say, hey, man, love you.
Yeah.
You back. We had something that was special that I'll take to my grave with me over any of the money.
That's fantastic. Listen, brother, in our remaining moments we have left, it's kind of a saying of yours, even though they made a movie by the same title. Some people mention this, but you like to use the term paying it forward. Tell me why that term is so meaningful to you.
Well, coming out of, you know, my first day out of intensive care, everything, I was lucid for the first day, you know, out of the drugs, only had a couple tubes in me. And I really needed to get my head cleared about what was going to be my future. did they get all of the tumor? Was it coming back? I had a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and an infant back home. Would I be able to be a father to them? All these questions going through my mind. And I told the head nurse I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want any phone calls. She made me pick up the phone, and the guy on the other end was a guy by the name of Rocky Blyer, another good Catholic guy from Notre Dame University, and he found out about me. We weren't great friends. We were just friends.
Sure.
And he called me that day, and here's a guy that had been through being shot up in Vietnam in an ambush and almost had his knee, you know, taken away from him. And after 2 years of a struggle coming back, he's got 4 Super Bowl rings. So I was listening to him. And this is a guy, you know, that just basically told me, you now have to be the best one-armed person you can be. That's what God wants of you, for you to be the best one-armed person that you can be. And you got to pay it forward to other amputees when you get your feet back on the ground, just like I'm paying it forward to you. I took that to heart, and I'm still doing it today.
That's outstanding, brother. That is, you know, the interesting thing about that story is that this player, Rocky Blyer, was famous, right? He was certainly well-known, a 4-time champion. And this was unsolicited, right? He called you kind of out of the blue, and he offered you that advice. And he had to know how difficult what he was saying was going to be, but he knew that it might be helpful to you in the near future. And certainly, you continue to pay it forward, brother. Listen, I want to thank you for everything you've done for our faith. I know you speak to men at men's conferences and to parishes and so forth. And I want to encourage. If you've come across Kevin Riley's name and you're considering him for a talk, for a presentation of some sort, to reconsider if you've gone by his name because of this interview. He is going to inspire those men of your parish. And brother, I thank you for saying yes to this interview. And I mean this, it's important for our culture, for our athletes to say yes to our Lord. And thank you for all that, brother. And listen, I'm going to have you on again. I promise that you have more to say, but thank you for being on Faith and Sport today.
John, as they say, and I'll close with this, Cardinal Charles of Chicago said on his deathbed, the only thing we take with us when we die is what we give to others. And that's the only collateral you're going to have when you're standing on your day of resurrection.
I love that, brother. Thank you very much. That was a great way to end this, and I'll talk to you soon.
John, thanks for having me.
You got it, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Folks, Kevin Riley, the author of Tackling Life, How Faith, Family, Friends, and Fortitude Kept an NFL Linebacker in the Game. Check this book out and more on Kevin at kevinriley52.com. So let's fade out with Elvis here. We have a little more to go on Faith and Sport. Stay with us. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva, and the other seat is Ed Billick. We'll have a few more things to talk about right after this.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hey folks, welcome back to Faith in Sport. This is where we look at sport through a Catholic lens. If you are a athlete, a parent of an athlete, a coach, a grandparent of an athlete, administrator, if you're involved in sport in any way, somehow, some way, this show is for you. If you're trying to get closer to your faith, if you are close to your faith and you're involved in sport, I'm doing probably what you do, and you try to tie together two of very big things in your life, and that is your faith and the world of sport. Because if you're a coach or a player, it's obviously a big deal to you. And I try to make that connection here. Boy, we were just talking in the break. Kevin Riley is the real deal. And that's as good as interview as we can have on this show.
I tell you what,
would
John.
You agree?
Yeah. And every time I'm repeating myself, because after these interviews, I say, boy, that's one of the best ones ever. And we've had tremendous folks.
We've had really good people.
And I could listen to this guy for a whole hour. And what he left me with, and it's funny, what he left me with. On your deathbed, the only thing we take with us is what we give to others.
Yeah.
That's worth repeating 10 or 20 times. So, folks, go back to the podcast. Listen to that segment. It's just a tremendous interview. And go to his website. He has a book out, right, John?
That's right. The name of that book is Tackling Life, How Faith, Family, and Friends, and Fortitude Kept an NFL Linebacker in the Game. He's gone through a lot in his early years. He's put it in perspective. He's rebounded both physically, and I think he's strengthened by his Catholic faith. And it's vital that we hear from people.
I'll be
like
on
him.
Amazon after the show.
I appreciate
the book.
That. Brother.
No, good
no,
stuff.
He sent
John.
Me a copy. I'm really thankful to him for sending me that. And that's one of the neat things. I mean this about this show is I get to meet people like him, and I get their books for free.
And you get to share him with us.
No, it's true.
With your audience.
I feel. You know, people say this term, I feel blessed, but I can't, there's no better or stronger word for doing this show and being able to meet. I would not meet people like Kevin Riley.
John, we don't make any money doing this. This is a ministry. No, we love giving to you these kind of gifts, and they're definitely gifts, and this guy, Kevin Riley, was a great gift.
Chris, I didn't want to tell him. He's obviously not getting those checks. I'm getting big checks every week. I forgot to mention that to him from last year.
Yeah, I know. Ed and I are the ones driving around in a Porsche. You are.
Folks, you didn't hear that. I do. Folks, listen. That was so quickly. I want to change the subject.
With five kids, I don't know about that.
I know. It's
amazing. Got a lot of hungry mouths there at the house.
We do. I'm going to have to sell that Porsche. Listen, at this point in the show, normally we do what's called the quick Q&A with Dr. A. Chris shoots us a question that I already
questions.
Know the answer to. I always act like I don't really know what the question is, but every talk show does this. They shoot questions at you, but they prepare the answers ahead of time. One question at a time, brother. What's your first question for us?
First one is your thoughts on referees or umpires for kids' games.
All right. Yeah, that's a great question because everybody who goes to a Little League game, whether it's sixth grade softball or a college basketball game, at some point you scream at the refs, right? It's just a thing that we do in our culture. It's a thing that we do in the sports culture. But I have some great stories, but I'll share one. But to answer that question in a general sense, it's actually decent, right? We tend to forget after the game that who even was the referee or the umpire because they do a decent enough job. But sometimes it's memorable. And Ed, a couple weeks ago, Claire, my 12-year-old, right? She's the oldest of the five, and she's playing in this middle school basketball game. And you can't help but notice the referees for two reasons. First of all, between them, they're maybe 35 years old, right? They look like kids. They're probably like 20 years old.
John, as you get older, younger people look a lot younger.
I know. I understand that. But in this case, literally, they are young, right? And the other thing you can't help but notice is they're not running at all as referees on a basketball court. They never once broke into a jog. The ball would go out of bounds, literally like 40 feet away, and the guy would like turn his head like he's looking around the corner of a wall and go, that's off on white. And of course, he has no idea who's off.
You should have coached him up.
Well, that's just it.
A lot of parents do coach him up.
Oh, brother. The whole thing with this is the two things I remember was how young they were and the fact that they weren't trying. But the other one was how bad they were and how much this crowd was getting on them. And here was the interesting thing. There was true equality there. They were given the opportunity for both sets of parents to yell at them they were not discriminatory in that.
Well, you know, that
they were screaming at them the entire time.
That's a big problem because there are good people that want a referee that don't want to put up with the criticism.
I've mentioned this before. It's been a long time since I mentioned
Don't
this.
Be one of those dads and
don't,
moms.
Don't do that. Just remember they're making about $14.
That's a venial sin.
What is?
Showing angry.
Isn't
their father, Aquaviva?
Well, being angry, but
being
remember
rude.
Christ. No, yeah, there's. It has to be in context. Getting angry. Our Lord got angry at people, right, selling things in the temple.
Yeah,
he turned
the tables over. And all.
He did.
So don't go down and turn the scorer's table over.
But this isn't. Yeah. But this isn't defacing or insulting our Lord, right? They're referees that have probably 10 minutes of training. They get about $14 a game. But it's you can't help but notice because Claire has played multiple sports. Luke has played multiple sports. And you just have to, like, rub your eyes and go, all right, be an adult here, be a Christian here, let it go. But the other story was fantastic. Luke, just a couple weeks ago, it was right around the same time, is playing in a flag football game. And it's early in the
Pro
morning.
Bowl. He was at the Pro Bowl.
Is it the Pro Bowl? And it's early in the morning, so everybody's getting their coffee. Yeah, it's really cold. Everybody's getting their coffee. Everybody's getting their, you know, Gatorade, whatever. And the referees jump onto the field with about 10 seconds before it's supposed to start. And the one guy has a box of Chick-fil-A, so he has nuggets in there. And then he has this huge, you know, 48-ounce beverage. Like, he's hugging it like a barrel.
So he's picnicking while he's reffing?
He is running down the field with this, you know, keg of beverage in one hand. And literally this thing of, you know, chicken
nuggets,
tenders.
Probably, they're delicious.
Yeah, nuggets in the other.
They're delicious.
And he's running down the field with both of his hands completely filled with food, trying to make a call on whether this kid went out of bounds. And at one point he goes, he stepped out of bounds right here, but he couldn't point because his arms were filled with food and drink. He was pointing basically by his elbows. Actually, at one point he goes, he nodded with his head. He goes, he went out right here and nodding with his head. And everybody just rubbed their eyes and went, oh my goodness, what's going on here? It was hilarious, but they were dead serious. Like, they're like, all right, man, I'm the referee. I'm going to make these calls. But what can you expect? These kids are kids. They're playing flag football. Nobody gets paid. These guys get paid $14 a game. What do you expect? Folks, if you want really good refereeing and umpiring, go to a major league game. Go to the NFL. Go to, you know, Major League Baseball. Go to a hockey game. Then you're going to get – and still, they mess up. Why? Because they're human beings.
They're human. We're broken.
It's a good thing that referee wasn't mic'd, or all you would hear was –
I think if he had to talk, that's exactly what he would have sounded like. Yeah. He had a whole mouthful of
Did he have Chick-fil-A sauce in his pocket?
Brother, I think that was like it was in between fingers one and two. He was trying to do that. It was hilarious.
He's multitasking,
but
John.
But the thing is I was the only person that probably thought it was funny. The other people were infuriated by this behavior.
That's the kind of guy you are. You see comedy in everything. You come in here and laugh at us. You got another question there?
Yeah. So this one has to do with John's man, Tom Brady. Said, your thoughts on Tom Brady moving to the broadcast booth.
Did you hear about this?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so this is why this is such a big deal. They basically groomed, in his final year, Greg Olson, right? They said he's basically going to replace Tony Romo, who I thought was really good.
You didn't think
he was good?
He is horrible.
No, I
don't
disagree
get
with
me
that.
Started.
No, I disagree
the
with that.
Far son, Remember, Holy Spirit,
yeah, exactly.
Amen.
This is a Christian show.
We'll do another show. Tony Romo, he ought to be on the field with those kids.
True or false? He's pretty good in the booth.
No, Chris. He's terrible.
No, I disagree with that. Okay.
Okay, anyhow, he's going to replace Romo, which is a great thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So good Greg Olson comes in, but now they're talking about Like, he Olsen's only done this for a year, 2 years at the most.
And so he is good.
He's very good. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about Tom Brady replacing him.
Okay.
I think that's kind of interesting. But here's the thing. I don't envision him being good at this at all. I really don't. And by the way, folks,
you're envisioning. Why don't you give the guy a chance? Come on. You're the guy that's giving other people chances.
Wait a minute. If it's a game, I envision one team beating the other. Doesn't mean I'm going to be right.
I think he knows a little bit about football.
He does. But if that were true, then everybody that's played their pro sport would be great commentators. But they're not. Some of them can't put two sentences together.
We'll find out.
Well, brother, what do you think? You be honest. Is he going to be good, yes or no?
I think he's going to help the ratings.
Well, that's not the question.
Well, it's all about money. It's for entertainment. And
not the question.
And he'll find out that Greg Olsen is a better, and Greg will
eventually. Chris, he keeps avoiding the question. I said, is he going to be good?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Anybody can be better than Tony Romo, for heaven's sake.
Well, I don't know about that, brother.
Yeah, so I agree with Ed on that one.
I know. Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was such a controversial
topic.
That's
like Tony Romo coming in here and telling us how Kevin was going to be. He's like telling us what the show is going to be about before he listened to the show.
Well, folks, listen, this is a great opportunity.
Plus, he can't shut up talking.
Of course,
he's terrible.
I never could stand Tony Romo because he was a quarterback for the Cowboys.
There's another reason.
So this is a great time to give out our Twitter account and our email, because I want to hear from you folks. Was Tony Romo good or bad in what he did? And further, will Tom Brady be good or bad?
You tell me. Question.
So Twitter me at j.aquaviva1, j.aquaviva1, or you can email me at faithinsport@wingate.com. Just like it sounds, wingate.edu.
And John will read the best answer on the next edition of Faith and Sport.
I'm getting on there right now.
That's right. I know.
J.aquaviva at what?
The Twitter is j.aquaviva1.
One.
Yeah.
Just the number or
just the number one, brother.
Okay.
But here's the thing about it, and this is like kind of a general view.
We're having
fun
here.
Yeah, of the retiring athlete, is they have to do something. Right. And think about it. If you're 45 years old, or Aaron Rodgers, he's around 40 years old, they have a lot of life left. Unless something terrible, if they live to the average age, they have at least 30 more years left on this earth. And you have to do something, because if you want to see a destructive life, put together nothing to do with a whole lot of money. Right. What's the great saying? Idle time is a devil's workshop.
No, it sure is.
And there is so much truth to that. There's so much truth.
It also gives Brady an excuse to wear all of his rings out of the house and wear them on TV while he's in the broadcast booth holding that microphone. Or
I know. In fact, every time somebody says, what did you do for a living, if they don't know him, he's going to have all those rings on his fingers. He's just going to rub his eyebrows probably. Yeah. Like. The last thing we can talk about, because we just have a minute left, is it was surprising, ultimately, and it was really a shame on the Jesus-related Super Bowl commercials. They spent $20 million on running a couple commercials in which they invoked Jesus' name, and there were so many people that got not just frustrated or upset by it, they were highly offended by it.
You keep bringing up the smaller group of people that talk. How about me? How about if we all said something, what a great job that was?
We should give Ed his own show so he can complain in his own way.
I guarantee you there are more people thinking that I don't have to share that was a wonderful thing.
I agree. I'm just saying, but you have to. This is part.
The devil's doing his work, John.
I understand that.
The devil's doing his work.
I know, but still.
Especially that one person we were talking about the other day.
It's worth talking about, because one of the things I mentioned on the last show when Jason was here was how sad it is in our culture, even when everybody in the room, for instance, is a Christian or a Catholic, whatever the case is, and somebody says something against it, and as long as it's not on church grounds, people tend to pipe down. They tend to not to defend their faith. They tend to not defend the Lord. And it's amazing how that happens time and again.
It's an opportunity for us.
It's an opportunity. And folks, I'm encouraging you, take those opportunities. Should it be done in a loving way? Should it be done in a courteous way? Absolutely. God calls us to do that. But God also encourages us to engage in our faith. And
Jesus,
that's one of the
ways. Jesus got jeered in his hometown. They chased him out of town that one day.
Absolutely. Folks, before we go, as always, a quote from Pope Francis, or a Pope, in this case, Pope Francis. Sport means to reject all forms of selfishness and isolation. It's an opportunity to meet and be with others, to help each other, to compete in mutual esteem, and to grow in brotherhood. Our Pope Francis said that. Before we go, a special thank you to Ed Billick.
Love being here. Thanks,
guys.
Yeah,
appreciate it, brother.
Thanks
and
for
to
having me.
Phone guest Kevin Riley for joining me on the show today. Thank you, Chris, for producing the show.
Good job, Chris.
I'm Dr. John.
Awesome show.
I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio and Radio Maria for more faith in sport. St. Sebastian,
pray for us.
You've been listening to Faith and Sport on Carolina Catholic Radio, Charlotte, 1270 AM. Also streaming at CarolinaCatholicMedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic mobile app. We hope you enjoyed the show today. Glad to have you tuned in on Carolina Catholic Radio or Radio Maria. We want to thank all of our Radio Maria listeners for tuning in to the show today as well, and invite you to tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Faith and Sport. And next time you go to CarolinaCatholicMedia.org or on the Carolina Catholic mobile app, make sure to hit that Donate Now button to help keep Faith and Sport and all the great Catholic programming you hear on Carolina Catholic Radio on the air.